Amen. But to God. Amen. Remember that we have it messed up sometimes in our thinking and our flesh, because God is the, we always think that sin is the source of our happiness, but actually we have to understand that God is the source of our happiness and sin is the source of our pain. The pain that we experience is because of sin. The way that we get released from that is understanding God and run through His throne room. And that speaks of going to His throne room, that literally we don't, but in the Spirit, what you do is you recognize His authority and His power and His might and His greatness. And you settle yourself. You come to that. That's what you do in worship. You know what I mean? We need to do that song too. We need to put that on our list. But we run to His throne room. We come to His throne room. We come there and we present ourselves. Amen? And it's a humble place. Tonight, I want to share with you, I said it last week and I kind of been thinking about it, so I'm going to talk about it. Amen? What it's about is, the Scripture talks about some of the, remember that I said ites? I was talking about the ites, you know, the Hittites and all those ones. And those were ones, and I hope that I can explain this, but I think it's powerful for us to grab hold of something, because it doesn't matter where you're at, what place you're at. There's always a from Adam and Eve on, there's always been an opposition against God's authority and against your authority, and understanding that you have power and might in the name of God. Amen. And there's always something that is always striving. Amen. The enemy has schemes and plans to try to derail you. Tell someone, derail you. But God's got a greater plan. So I just want to share this with you tonight. And but let's open with Ephesians 6, 10 through 2. And I want us to understand this, so we open up with to get this. And I'm going to read it. You can have it in King James also, but I'm going to do it in Amplified as I read it. Amen. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. That means to draw your strength from Him and be empowered through your union with Him. Be empowered with your union with Him. That's how are you empowered? By joining together with God, running to His throne room, taking hold of what He has for you. Put on the full armor of God, for His precepts are like splendid armor of heavily armed soldier, so that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the schemes and the strategies and the deceits of the devil. So here it tells us right here that the enemy has schemes and plans to try to derail you. And it says that we might be able to, the wells or the schemes that he has, to stand up against those things. And it says, for our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. It's not just physical opponents, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly spiritual places. Therefore, put on the complete full armor, be able to successfully resist and stand your ground in the day of danger, having done everything that the crisis demands, to stand firm in your place, fully prepared, immovable, victorious. Stand firm and hold your ground, having tightened the wide band of truth, personal integrity, and moral courage around your waist. So, listen, I said that to understand that we got to get that there's spiritual. There's a spiritual something. Sometimes there's things that are happening that we don't see outside of our realm, that we focus so much. And sometimes when things happen, we look in the flesh and blood. We think that, oh, it's this person. But sometimes I want you to know that it's the schemes of the enemy to try to influence us, to derail, to discourage one another, to break things up and to disrupt. Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. That's what happens sometimes, that we have to pay attention. We have to know that the enemy does have schemes and plans, that we can't let him disrupt. Amen. Our homes. We can't let him disrupt our workplace, where we are at work. Amen. No matter where we are. Amen. So I want you to get this. So let's look at Exodus 23. Exodus 23. Verse 20. Amen. Behold, he says, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into a place which I have prepared. Well, let me just say this for us to understand that that angel is capital. There's a capital there that God does have angels. We know there's angels. But when it's capital like that, that speaks of God. Amen. That there was a demonstration of Christ, the presence of Christ at this moment right here. Come on, amen. He didn't just appear 2,000 years ago. He's been here. Amen. He always was from the beginning. So there's capitalized so we can see that and understand that that's God. Amen. So he says that I have put an angel before you. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Amen. That God says, I've placed an angel, a messenger, someone to carry the message. Amen. So I see our way. You can bring, someone said this today, I've seen this. You could bring people to church, but only Jesus can bring people to the Father. You can bring anybody to church, but it takes Jesus to bring them to the Father. That's personal. Amen. He says, keep them in the way and bring them to a place which I have prepared. And he says, beware of him and obey his voice. Beware, be aware, be aware. Be aware of his voice and provoke not him, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. See, that's we know that it means Jesus. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then will be an enemy, and I will be an enemy unto your enemies. Wow. Is that powerful? He's saying that I'm going to be an enemy to your enemies. Whatever comes against you, hallelujah, comes against me. And he says, the adversary under thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before you and bring thee in unto the Amorites. You ready? Here we go. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them, and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. I want you to hear this. That this is a promise of God. He's saying that these things have come, so they're a product of the result of sickness, disease, come on, of poverty, of things that we battle. We battle. We got to understand that they're spiritual. Come on, amen. They're spiritual things that people live in poverty because there's a spiritual force that comes against them because God says that God wants us to prosper. God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have. So we got to understand that our battle is not, well, I just can't get, it's me or this. I want you to hear this and understand that there's a spirit of poverty. Come on, amen. That we got to break it. We got to understand that I am blessed and highly favored. I say that every week. I just don't say that just for us just to blab it out. But I want us to understand that there's something powerful in that. Amen. That's why it's powerful to tithe. Whatever you have. I mean, I want you to know that tithing is an opportunity. It opens the door for God to say, listen, your enemies are my enemies. So what you're saying is, God, my money is your money. Come on, this ain't, you guys know I'm not a money preacher. You know, I don't preach about that, about trying to pull people's money. Because I feel if it's in your heart, it's in your heart. Amen? And God takes care of us. Amen? But I want you to know that if I don't share this with you, that to break poverty, amen, comes that there's a seed that's sown. You understand that seeds are what you plant. And if sometimes you're not receiving something, it's because you're not sowing something. And when you begin to sow something, you begin to reap something. And what you do is you open the door for God to stand behind you and back up what you've blessed him with, amen? What you open the door with. You open the door with that. And it begins to break off. That change, those things that try to hold you back from being blessed and financially. Come on, amen. So we can see there's a spiritual poverty that can grip hold of you. And he says, and thou shalt nothing cast your young, nor be barren in the land. The number of your days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all your enemies turn their backs and run. And I will send hornets before you, and shall drive out the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites from before thee. I will drive them out from before you in 1 year. Listen to this, because this is powerful. I will drive them out in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against you. He says, little by little, I will drive them out before you. Listen, I want us to hear this. He says, little by little. Listen, you take ground little by little. I want you to know this, that God's working something in these people. He's saying, listen, they're out there, but I want you to know that I'm going to use you, hallelujah, that you're going to walk with me and we're going to overtake these things. These things that I'm going to list, I'm going to tell you what they are, each one of them. I'm going to give you the example of them, but you're going to do it little by little. Come on, here little, there little, amen? That we begin to pull back the grounds, begin to take it. We don't do this overnight. Come on, amen? That sometimes we don't see results, but God says, listen, as you follow me, we'll do a little by little. Those things that you've struggled with, little by little. If you begin to walk with God and stay in line with Him, God will begin to destroy things and break things off that you couldn't do before. Amen? But what happens is people get frustrated and they give up. They might get one victory and then they begin to fade away. Come on, amen? But we're to stand the ground. We're to stand our ground. We're to stand the ground and walk and move with what God has for us. And it says, I will set thee, he says, and little by little, I will drive them out from before you until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will drive them out until. So I want you to know that, listen, there are things that are happening, that each one of these things God's overcoming, that we can watch God do, and each one of those moments we begin to see the victory of God. Let God have His way. Let God arise in the midst of things that we have, that we struggle with. Amen? So, let's look at this. The scripture, verse 21. Beware of voices. Beware of His voice and not other voices. And let's look at... And he says, I will do it for you. The Philippians 4:19 says, I will supply all your needs. My God. Say, my God. Shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Not my riches, but His. I need what God has. I need His supply for my life. But the key word is what? My God. It's personal. Amen? You cannot know the supply of God. You can get a taste of it. You get rubbed upon it. It can bump into you. But we really cannot understand the full supply of God unless I know Him as my God. And when you know Him as your God, see, because I want you to know that you can hear my experiences, but you need to taste and see that He's good. Amen? That each one of us need to taste, to experience that, the power of God that way. You could see and watch how I've had victories over things, but each one of us need to have victories. Amen? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this. Casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. To bringing them to the obedience of Christ. Amen? Remember that scripture. So let's go ahead and go to each one of them. This is Deuteronomy. And he lists them to Abraham. Deuteronomy 7. 1-3. Listen to this. How many of you guys know that this is when they came out? I want you to get this. I want us to get this. Because they came out of Egypt. That speaks of you being saved and God setting you free. Amen? That means, that speaks of coming them out of, you all know the story of Egypt where they were with Moses, and Moses, the lamb was sacrificed, amen, and they came through the Red Sea, and that speaks of our baptism in Jesus Christ, and we came out of that place, but then they came into the wilderness, amen. They came to this place, and this is where God met them, and this is where God began to speak to them. I want you to get this, that first you get saved, you get baptized, you become empowered, amen. But there's still some battles that we are working through. Come on, amen. I want you to get this. I want you to know that we have to understand this, because sometimes we become sideswiped Christians, especially new Christians. All of a sudden they think, well, maybe I'm not saved, or maybe this or that. I want you to know that everybody faces these things. Come on, amen. And it's in those moments that we grow with God. Little by little, we experience God and the fullness of God. He meets them there, and they don't get sideswiped, because why? They know that there's some things that are out there that you're going to face. And I want you to get this and know that there's some things that God's still working on me with. Come on, amen. Sometimes when you first get saved, you know that you're coming out of that old understanding of things that happened in the past, things you used to be reliable on. Come on. Whether they're addictions, or whether there are fears, whether they're phobias, whatever those different things are that you've struggled with. Come on, amen. There's things that we've struggled with that God's going to work out in your life. There's sometimes that God will deliver us overnight of things, some things. But there's some things that we work through. Come on, amen. That we work through these things. And we watch God do it. So here it is. And he says, and God says, and the Lord God brought, bring unto the land whither thou goest to possess it. I've given it to you to possess. You to possess it. And have cast out many nations before thee. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, these are real names. Come on, amen. The Canaanites, the Perizzites. Come on, you got a Perizzite? The Hivites, the Jebusites. Seven nations. Say seven nations. Greater and mightier than you. Listen, I want you to hear this and understand that we can understand there's seven. This is powerful, because he said seven. There's seven things that you're going to face. I want you to know there's more than just seven that they faced. They faced the Amalekites, and they faced the Midianites. And they're not mentioned here. And I hope I have enough time to share why they weren't mentioned in here. But he's dealing with these seven, because these are similar to what we deal with today. Come on, amen. I want to give you these. And there are seven mountains. There's seven mountains that we face that are out there. Come on, amen. There's spiritual things that try to have power over each and every one of us. Come on, amen. In some way, whether we recognize this, and we have to recognize it, it's spiritual forces that press against you. And we see these in these different places. Education. Come on. Religion. These are mountains. Family, businesses, government and military, those are two. The arts and entertainment. And the last one is the media, it's the news. Now, every one of these are mountains. Mountains speak of authority, they speak of power, they speak of influence. And listen to this, he said this. These enemies are what, Kelly? What did he say? They're greater and they're mightier than you. In your flesh. They will influence you and they will guide you. And I want you to stop and think about this. Come on. The things we wear, the things, and not all this stuff is really as bad. I mean, come on. But you see something on TV and in media with this and that, and it influences you. There's power in that. I'm not talking about shutting the TV off and moving to the mountains or something. And just, I'm not saying that. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But we got to recognize that power. And it shapes people. How many of you guys know that? Remember, I remember the first time that I seen a scary movie. I think it was Friday, or no, it was Nightmare on Elm Street. I was young. And I remember going to the cinema downtown.
Remember the cinema? It's no longer there anymore. You know you're old when buildings start tearing down. You know what I'm saying? So I remember going to that movie. I remember it freaked me out so bad. It scared me so bad. And I'm like, I'm with my friends and I'm acting like I'm tough. But man, I tell you what, I wanted to get out of there so quick, man. I was like, I want my mom. I want my mommy. But I couldn't. I had to stay there. But I want you to know that, listen, you watch that movie now and you laugh. Because we have been so conditioned. I want to just stop. Listen, so conditioned that you need more, that doesn't affect you like it did then. Listen, the things that we listen to, the way that we listen to things, that all things around us, these things are, we are bombarded every minute of the day. And it shapes us. Come on, the news that we listen to, you listen whether you're on the left side or the right side, I don't care. They both do it. Come on, amen? They try to shift people. They try to get you to be informed in the way that they might want you to be informed. Amen? So they begin to feed you these things. You begin to hear that. I hear people saying, I watch one person can stand there and say, wow, this is this, and another person, complete opposite. Come on, amen? It's because how they were influenced, how they were spoken to, how that it directed their ways of thinking. Come on. In the arts, movies and entertainment and songs and singing. Come on, amen? I just want you to get this and know that these are mountains. Come on, amen? That there sometimes there's an influence that is not good. That the enemy will influence people to make things or direct things to kind of, come on, to discourage us, to maybe not believe in God or to, you know, whatever that is. So, and he's saying this. He says, here they are. He says, and he says, and the Lord thy God shall deliver them before you, and you shall smite them and utterly destroy them, and thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show them mercy. Don't make any agreements with them. I'm going to read that in the Amplified. That part right there. And the Lord your God gives them over to you to defeat them. Then you shall utterly destroy them. You shall not make covenant, a treaty with them, nor show mercy or compassion to them. You shall not intermarry with them. You shall not give your daughter and your son unto them. Nor shall take his daughter yours for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. They will turn from me. I want you to see this. That listen, we live in a day and age now that, man, people have been turned off by God. They've been turned away from God. And why? Because of all the influences that are out there. Entertainment. Come on, amen. And whatever different things are, or sometimes religion. Come on, we've seen that. That look at that. How that religion. Okay? Not God, but religion will turn people away. Amen? And he says, and the anger of the Lord will be kindled and burned against, and he will quickly destroy. But this is how you shall deal with them. You shall tear down their altars and smash the pieces, their sacred pillars, cut down their symbols of goddess and their goddess of Ashar, and burn their carved sculptures. The Bible says that we are to pull down images, anything that exalts itself above God. For you are holy, you're set apart to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples of the face of the earth. And he says his possession, that is his very special treasure. You are. Say, I'm God's treasure. The Lord did not love you or choose you because you were greater in number than any other people, for we are the fewest of all peoples, but because the Lord loves you and is keeping his oath, which he swore to your father. The Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery out of Egypt. Therefore, without any doubt, and understand that the Lord your God, he is God and faithful, who is keeping his covenant and loving kindness 1,000 generations to those who love him and keep his commandments. Amen? That's what he's declared. Now I want you to share with you what they are. These ones, what they are. Each one of them, what they mean. Number one, the spirit name is Hittites. And Hittites means sons
of terror. That's the meaning of their name. Sons of terror. This is the effect of the Hittites. Torments, terror, phobia, and depression. This is what they bring. Now, come on, I want you to get this. These were enemies that they were facing then, but there's a spiritual understanding that we face today. There's Hittites that God has called us to stand up against. Amen? And they are depression. Amen? They are terror. They are phobias. Phobias that can hurt, but that cause people to live in terror. Amen? Come on, amen? There are phobias that people live in terror because of those things. And torments. Listen. And then the Girgashites. Girgashites mean clay dwellers. Clay dwellers. That means they dwell in the earth. And the effects of them, they focus on earthliness, unbelief, and they can't see. This is what the effects of them are. They focus on earthy things, unbelief, and cannot see. They're unable to see spiritual things. Amen? They're unable to see. They can't see it. Come on, did you ever sometimes... That's why you need to be born again. That's why you have to have a born again experience. Because if not, you can't see it. Amen? The Amorites are mountain people. Earthly fame, glory, dominary. Amorites mean pride. They speak of pride. They're earthy. They have fame, glory, and they're domineering. Wow. Very domineering. Now, I know sometimes first thing happens in our head, sometimes we think of people or this or that, and because we could see it in sometimes. Amen? But remember, our battles are not against people, in a sense, flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, those things that influence people to do the things that they do. Amen? How many of you guys know that Judas just didn't wake up one day feeling he's going to deceive Jesus? But it was in the making. He was influenced by spirit. Amen? And it cost him. Why? Because of greed. Because of pride. Because of self-preservation. He was doing that. And that influence spoke to his weak part of him. Yes. See, I want you to know that your spirit, that's why we have to hear in the spirit. Because your flesh is the part that hears it. It like, yes. It gets up and it wow, yes. And it speaks to your flesh. So, the Canaanites speak, they were lowland people. They were people that lived in low places. I got friends and listen, that speaks of addictions. Come on. There's some Canaanites that need destroyed. Addictions, perversions, and people-pleasing. Now listen, I want you to know that, listen, that's what happens. Sometimes when there's perversions that take place, that the only way that people feel that they're important is by pleasing people. The first thing that happens sometimes when you're rejected is you feel like you always got to please people some way. Amen? Sometimes we'll do things that we shouldn't do or say things we shouldn't say. Why? Because we're trying to please people. So these Canaanites were in a place where they were trying to. And you know, we got to recognize that this is a grandson. This is Noah's fourth. Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. Good. Yeah. Keep that up. That's good. See, yeah, the Canaanites right there from Ham. Ham? Yeah, descendants of Ham, every one of them. And Ham was his father was Noah. See, I want you to see this. Do you see how the enemy is always trying to sneak in somehow, some way, to disrupt what God has planned and how He's called them? This is a son of Noah. Come on. I mean, listen to me. You are in the boat watching God deliver you. But something influenced him to disrupt this. Listen, I have not watched my father build an ark.
seen him, God use him to build a church. But listen to me, think about that. And that what an influence that this man had. He built an altar. He's seen a rainbow. He watched this whole thing take place. Amen? There were sons of Japheth, every one of these ones. Look at this. And they bring them all the way down to Abraham. See, these are sons of Abraham. Wow. Look at the influence there, the heritage they have. This is the enemy trying to disrupt what God has planned, what God has called. These are God's children. These are God's ones. But he's trying to disrupt it. So here they are, the Canaanites. This was the promised land. And it says, and I said this before, the Amalekites, the son of Esau. You see how the enemy came in with, we could Abel, and we could see how the Esau came in there in with Isaac, or who? Cain. Who? No, Esau. Jacob, sorry. I'm thinking about all these names. But Jacob, because of that, there something came in there that speaks of the flesh. The parasites. Here, listen, you guys waiting for this one, right? Parasites. The belongers to a village. You think, wow, that's cool, right? Because it takes a village, right? That's what they say. Listen, that's media. That's the education system trying to influence us to say it takes a village. I need to help you raise your kid, the education system. We need to raise your kids for you. We need to influence your children. Come on. I'm talking about spirits. Don't go against teachers, because I love teachers. But I'm saying spiritual things that come from higher places to influence our children. I hear what my daughter sometimes tells me about what they teach, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Thank God she knows who she is and knows what she sees and sees these things that are bad like that and says, wait a minute, that ain't right. But this is the effect that belongers to village. Limited vision. Lazy. Come on. Low self-esteem. You think, wow, listen. Limited vision. They only see so far. They're limited because they live within a confinement and they don't live outside of their own space. They don't live outside of their own environment, of their own little village that they built, that this is my place, this is where I dwell, and they don't go outside of that place. Amen? Come on. So it's limited seeing, limited to what they see, only what they want to see. In a place where it's lazy. Come on, amen? Come on, we're not called to be lazy. In Him I move and I have my being. Low self-esteem. And those are results. See, if we have low self-esteem, that sometimes it'll make you lazy or it'll make you be a dweller of one place. Not wanting to go out, not wanting to go beyond your walls. Amen? Hivites, villagers. Vision, limited. Their vision is limited also. They enjoy their inheritance to themselves. See, some of these doesn't seem like, but they're spiritual things. That they're keeping their inheritance to themselves. We're not called to keep what we've inherited from God to ourselves. We see churches filled with people that come in every week, get an inheritance, hear this good news, and keep it inside. The last thing Jesus said was, go, preach the good news. This is for your power. This is how you're empowered. And what does the enemy do? He wants us to be suppressed, held back, and don't preach. Don't share the good news. Don't express what God's done for you. Amen? To keep it confined. Keep it in a village. Keep it at home. Jebusites, threshers. Suppression of spiritual authority. They suppress spiritual authority in believers. Legalism. Wow. Now that's where we get religion.
That's where the enemy comes in to religion to try to suppress people, to kind of spiritual suppression over people. Amen? Do we see, understand that? Spiritual oppression over top of them, that I'm here and you're here. And the enemy will use that. Sometimes people do it with good intention. They get a scripture, they think that I'm your leader, I'm above you, and you're here. And they suppress people. They suppress people. They push them down. Come on, amen? And they keep them confined. And that's why sometimes people, unfortunately, don't share what they have, because they feel like they don't have the authority to do that. They don't feel like they have the ability to do that. They don't feel like they're not good enough. They feel like they're not worthy to share it. Amen? That we got to get beyond that. We got to understand that, listen, no. I'm called to do this. Amen? That He gave this as a commission. He's declared this to us, to each one of us, to share this. So He could say, He said this, every one of these things you will defeat. You will overcome them. So these are things that we face. These are things that are out there that we got to understand that God has called us to overtake those things. Each one of those different things. And we face them now that we got to understand that we are to be the influences of those seven mountains that I said from the beginning. Entertainment, family. Listen, I want you to give them to you again. Education, religion, family, business, government, arts, and entertainment and media. Sometimes we just wait for other people, but we as the church, can you look up Isaiah 2:2? And it says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." Say, we are the house of God. We are the mountain of God. Come on, amen. God's kingdom, amen. God's reigning power. God's placed us there to be the one above all these other mountains. And He says, "And shall establish in the top of the mountains." What does it say? Mountains. The seven mountains I just said. "And shall be exalted above the hills, and all the nations shall follow unto it." That means the church, come on, amen, the children of God are to be the influences in these areas. Entertainment, come on. I want you to get this and know this, that one of those Hittites would pull back from religion and cause people not to be involved. You can't go to movies. You can't do this. You can't do that. And it kept people from out. So guess who ran into the entertainment place? Everybody that wasn't churched. Oh, you can't sing, or you can't do this or that. We pull people back. Oh, we can't do that. You're not able to play in a band. We remember that. I mean, there was things where you weren't allowed to do some of these things. You weren't allowed to do that. You couldn't do this in church. You or dance in church, or you sing in church. You sing too loud. You can't clap your hands. Come on, amen? You're not able to clap your hands. You're not able. So it was, instead of being the influence of the world took off and went on their own without any influence. We are to be the influence to the world. Amen? We're supposed to be the influence to the entertainment. Fortunately, look at this now. Look at all the good Christian movies that are finally coming out. Because I remember when I was growing up, there wasn't any good Christian movies. They were lame. They weren't that good. But now they're awesome. You're like, they get numbers. I mean, look at the, what's the one that was out that just was huge? Only Imagine? It became in the world. It wasn't in the Christian movie theaters. It was in the world. So what we've done is we pulled back the imagination of kids to say, well, you can't do that, or you can't. Wow. No, man, they create these things in their mind. They came from God. These imaginations, they came from God, or they come from something else. So kids are to have that influence. Go sing. Come on, amen. I would love my daughter or somebody here to be able to sing in the world, influencing people that are in the world with a message they might not even know they're hearing. Come on. In sports or in the government. Come on, amen. That we're to lead the government. Why is it a mess? Because we haven't led. We blame it. We get mad at all this. Let's do something about it.
Come on, let's raise our children. Let them know, man. Listen, you have the power to get into authority, get in a place where you could get into leadership, get in on council, get on these different places. Amen? I watched my dad was on every board there was. He was an influence in this county in a powerful way. Come on, he was always at board meetings. Here's an old toll grinder. This old preacher. But he was in all the courthouse. He was in these places of influence somewhere, somehow. We have to continue to be in those places. We got to get in these arenas. We got to get on school boards. We're never going to change them if we're not on the school boards or in whatever places. Come on, amen? But we need to do that. We can do that. We can get in there. Why? Well, I need to say, no. Just be in there. Your presence. But the enemy doesn't want you in those places. Because you are powerful. You are powerful. I want you to know, don't look at the place, the workplace. You're there for a reason. You're in there. I'm working today, not just because I'm a bricklayer, but there's more to it than that. I'm there to influence. Come on, amen. I'm working in right now I'm working in the state prison. And I'm around guards, and I'm not too around inmates, but I'm around, sometimes I am, but they look at me and they're like, give me dirty looks. But I'm in there, and there's guards around me, and men that have been, they've went through a lot of stuff, man. They had to shut down the prison a couple weeks ago because of the, what's it called? Yeah, it was these different, whatever it was, but there was stuff that was in there. And here these guys are walking in fear. Some of them are making $16 an hour, and they're, but man, just to able to be there. And sure, I was sharing with one of the guards today, just being able to be there and being there. The one of them that comes in every day, he says, well, I know you from somewhere. No, I know you don't know me, but listen. There's something in us that they feel familiar with. Come on, you ever? Sometimes people, you know, they never seen you, but there's something in you that, man, they want to know you. They gravitate to you. Every time I go around, he's like, "Hey, Chris, good morning." And everybody told me, man, he's the meanest guy. He's the meanest guy. He's such a jerk. Everybody said that about him. I'm like, the power of influence. Change environments. That's what God's called us to do, to get in those places. I could see why they could be hard and upset. They're always seeing this pain and all this stuff all around. But we're there to bring some sunshine to light and dark places. Amen? In the most oddest places. Here, I'm a bricklayer, laying brick in this place, in this environment, no matter where you're at. So you can get the strangest job like I have and be an influence wherever you are. Amen? So we have to take that authority. Take that. He says, I will be with you. I will guide you. And the only way these ites get defeated is if we are there. Come on, amen? If we're in the midst of them and recognize them. Amen? So I just want you to just take that and just walk with that. Amen? And I wrote down some nations. Abomination, alienation, assassination, contamination, imagination, incrimination, stagnation, discrimination, impersonation. And I thought every one of those things are nations that we need to defeat. Amen? To overcome those nations. Those nations, that, and he said them, he says, listen, you will overtake all nations. So whatever those nations are, we need to overtake them. We need to be that influence. Amen? Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God. I ask the God, Lord, that we just stand and understand the word that we have within us and the influence that's in us, to God, Lord, to go out into the world, to God. And not to lose ground, but to gain ground. Hallelujah. Not to lose ground, but to gain ground. And the authority that we have, I pray right now, to God, Lord, for, Lord, just the influence that you've given me, I pray to God, Lord, just to empower each one here tonight, God, Lord, to walk with authority and understanding, God, that it's not just here, hallelujah, but it's out there in the world that changes things, God. Lord, I just ask to God, Lord, to give them strength and power in your might and let them know, hallelujah, that you're on their side, hallelujah, that you're right with them, that you will go before them, that you will be their guide, that you'll be their direction, hallelujah, that you'll be that light that they'll run unto, God. Lord, I pray to God, Lord, that we seek your face, dear God, Lord, that we understand and know that you're with us, that we're empowered by your presence in our lives. And we thank you for that, and we give you glory, and we are blessed. Amen. Come on, amen.